icons. One was like a dark red blood drop, and the other was a green skull and crossbones. I focused on their meaning, and two alerts displayed at the bottom of my screen. You are bleeding, and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect. You have been poisoned, and require medical attention. Poison is a weakening and damage over time effect. Pain shot out in my shoulder, and I watched as my health bar dropped to 45%. Shit! I gritted my teeth and tried to ignore the pain as I began searching through my satchel for a bandage. I gripped onto a soft cloth, but before I even had time to take any action, I looked up and saw three more giant maggots approaching. You have got to be kidding me! Pain coursed through my body, and then another sharp pain pulsed in the wound of my leg. My health fell to 35%, and I was starting to feel dizzy. There was no way I would survive another battle against three more maggots in my current state. My only choice was to try to run. I reached for my torch and bolted towards the maggots as fast as I could, kicking one out of the way and jumping over the other two. Each step of the way, my feet squished on the smaller maggots that littered the floor, soaking my feet in an icky mess. The pungent smell of death grew stronger as I continued. Another shock of pain thudded through my body, and my health was down to 30%. The thin passageway opened into another large room, and as soon as I stepped inside, I was almost choked by the heavy odor in the air. The source of the smell was apparent right away, as against the far left wall, a huge body, maybe 50 times my size, lay dead on the ground. Its head was half missing, and both small and large maggots were feasting on its decomposing gray flesh. When the light of my torchlight bounced off the cave walls, I noted a chest lying at the foot of the giant body, and a sword leaning against the wall. But, most importantly, I noticed one massive maggot the size of a bear that had been sucking at the body's neck. It turned to me and screeched in rage. All the other maggots turned in attention, and the screams from them all at once were like daggers in my ears. Another thudding pain, health at 25%. I swung my torch in panic, looking for an escape route, and I could see the faintest bit of light coming from one of two other passages that branched off from the room. I staggered toward the light as fast as my weakened body would let me, with bloodthirsty maggots right on my trail. I had to kick several maggots out of the way before I reached the dimly lit passage. But when I finally got out of the main room, there seemed to be nothing but a few smaller maggots and vines growing out of the ceiling the rest of the way. I didn't stop running from the screeches behind me until the path reached such an incline that running wasn't possible, and it was clear that there was an exit ahead of me. I had to drop my torch and grab onto rocks and hard roots to pull myself up and out, but finally, I reached the mouth of the cave. The ground leveled out once I was above ground, and I found myself in some sort of a forest. It seemed to be right after dusk, and there was barely any light left in the sky. Birds and insects filled the air with sounds, and the coolness of the hard wind intensified the stinging of my wounds. Health at 15%. My status bar started blinking at that point, a clear indication that I was in very serious trouble. I limped forward, scanning my surroundings, but all I could see were trees in every direction. I continued on, making sure to put a decent amount of distance between me and the cave, just in case something nasty were to crawl from inside. When I was a safe distance away, I plopped myself down hard at the base of a large stump. My head swam as I reached for my bandages, and I sloppily tried to tie one around my bleeding shoulder. It seemed impossible to tie the cloth off at such an awkward angle, and the bandage quickly became saturated in blood. As I struggled with making a loose knot, the cloth slipped out of my fingers and fell into the dirt below. You have failed to bandage your wounds. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock, I muttered weakly from my drying mouth. I grabbed my other bandage and wrapped it tightly around my ankle. While it went on a bit sloppily, I managed to get it tied off this time. Advancement. You have learned the skill, first aid. Appointment at 10 o'clock. I'll see you at 10:45. First aid is linked to the base stat intelligence. Increase your intelligence to increase your ability to perform first aid. The bleeding around my ankle seemed to be nullified by the bandage, but there was still blood coming out of my shoulder, and I was still poisoned. I groaned loudly as pain coursed through my body again, and my health fell to 10%. At that point, my vision was becoming blurry, and I knew that I was knocking on death's door. I reached for my satchel and pulled the food ration out with shaky hands. I remembered Trainer telling me that eating would increase my natural recovery rate, and by then I was willing to try anything. I pulled open the brown paper covering the rectangular food ration, and inside was something the same color as the paper that covered it. It certainly didn't look good. The smell was a bit like bread and cheese, but when I bit into it, it had the same consistency and taste as bologna. It was unpalatable, but I forced as many bites down my throat as I could. My vision flashed as another streak of pain coursed through my body, and I fell sideways, dropping the rest of my food. Health at 5%. I sighed and gently rocked my head against the ground as my stomach churned and cramped, cursing my bad luck. Not only had I spawned in the worst location ever, but I'd have to run through that stinky, maggot-filled place again after I respawned. I wasn't even sure if I'd still have my starting items after I died. What a crazy, broken game, I thought. I had never felt so much pain in my life. Even having a few hundred cans of food dropped on my foot hadn't come close. The idea of full immersion virtual reality was great when you thought about the adventures, battles, and maybe even virtual sex you could possibly have. But when you added the pain, the gore, and death, I wasn't sure how appealing it really was. Cool concept, but everything was a little too real. Health at 2%. My eyelids were heavy, and I could barely pull them open at that point. My entire body ached, and there was a loud ringing in my ears, drowning out the sound of everything around me. The pain was so intense that I pretty much blacked out. The last thing I remember was wondering if Rachel was okay.
Chapter 5. Month 1, Day 1, Year 1. "There you go, buddy, eat up," a voice said. I could hear the sound of jaws chomping down on something and burning wood crackling in the distance. It felt warm and safe. Safe? I pulled open my groggy eyes and groaned. I could see wooden panels above me and something smelled amazing. I tried to move my hands and legs, but they were stuck. "Oh, so you're finally awake." I blinked a few times as my strength started to surface, and a tall man with an evening shadow and dark, long hair stood over me. Again, I tried to move, this time with a little more enthusiasm, but each pull was met with resistance. I was tied down by something. "Where am I?" I questioned frantically. "Why am I tied up?" The man sighed. "Sorry about that. I wasn't sure if you're a thief or not. It's better to be safe than sorry."
"I'm not a thief."
"Yeah, and all the thieves admit being thieves, right?" The man stood up straight and ripped a piece of bread off a loaf he was holding, tossing it in his mouth. He swiftly rubbed his hand off against the front of his brown leather tunic, then swiped again against his leather pants. "But considering you only had a dagger and flint on you, you must be a pretty bad thief."
"I told you I'm not a thief."
"Or a murderer."
"I'm not a murderer."
"Hmm," the man said. "You are only level 2. I suppose the idea of you being a murderer is a bit far-fetched, but..."
"Come on, let me out,"
I interrupted, yanking at the rope that was bounding my hands to the bed. The man chewed on his bread for a moment, then threw in another bite. His mouth was full as he spoke.
"How about we get to know each other first? What's your name, and where do you come from?"
"My name is Gunner," I said. "I'm from Los Angeles." The man's head jolted back, and it looked like he was thinking hard. "Los Angeles. I don't think I've ever heard of there. What's it near?"
"You wouldn't know. It's not in Eden's Gate."
"What? I don't understand." He looked perplexed. Look, I just logged into this game.
Game?
I sighed. I just turned level 2. I just got here.
Ah, yes. You're a newbie adventurer. That I can understand.
And who are you?
I'm Jax.
The man grinned wide and grabbed the fingers of one of my tied-up hands, shaking it comically.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Can you let me go now?
Jax rubbed his chin with two fingers and thought a moment before he nodded gently. Okay, I'll untie you. But if you try anything funny, you either get an arrow in your back or Fenris will eat your ass.
Fenris?
Jax quickly untied the ropes that were binding me to the bedpost, and I pushed myself up into a sitting position, rubbing at the soreness around my feet and ankles.
That's Fenris, Jax pointed. Directly in front of me was a massive gray and white wolf, thrice the size of the biggest dog I had ever seen, nearly thrice the size of Jax. It was busy chewing the meat off a large bone, but as soon as I made eye contact with him, he looked up, showed me his razor-sharp teeth, and growled. I had already been eaten alive by maggots. There was no way that I'd stand a chance against that thing.
How did I get here? I asked. The last thing I remember was dying at the base of a tree stump.
Your skin was pale as white when I saw you, poisoned and almost dead. But you still had a breath of life in you. I poured a cure potion down your throat and bandaged your shoulder before I brought you back here.
I looked to my shoulder and the bandage on it was tied, far superior to the one on my leg.
Thank you, I said.
Thank the gods. Another minute out there and you'd be a goner, Jax replied.
I was sitting in what seemed to be a small cabin. There was a burning fireplace right behind Fenris, who was sitting on a bearskin rug, and a hog was being spit-roasted over the flames. Behind me was a small dining table and a cabinet desk that was covered in various flasks and bowls. My stomach growled loudly.
Hungry? Jax asked.
Very much so. Jax prepared me a simple meal of ham, bread, and wild berries. I could barely control myself as I rammed piece after piece down my throat. It was delicious, and I couldn't tell if it was because the game made it that way, or if I was just dying to eat something of sustenance after a near-death experience. Whatever the case, it beat the food ration 100 times over. The small icon of an apple appeared below my status bar, and I focused on its meaning.
You are well-fed. Stamina and vitality increased by 15% while this effect is active.
I took a large swig of water and sighed at the brisk, refreshing feeling.
Where is this place, anyway?
This is the Addenfall Forest, Jax said, sitting in a wooden rocking chair near the fireplace. I found you near Old Namboonga's cave.
Old Namboonga?
I asked, squishing a piece of bread and throwing it in my mouth.
He's an ogre that used to roam these parts. Legend says that he fell down the slope of the cave years ago and couldn't get his fat ass out. He feeds on bats and whatever else wanders down there.
Jax pounded his fist on his chest a couple of times and his face winced in pain as he belched.
You don't want to go down there unless you want to end up as a splotch on the end of his club.
I picked a piece of ham off my plate and started chewing on it while thinking about what Jax said.
I think Old Namboonga is dead, actually.
What do you mean?
When I was in the cave near the tree stump, I saw a huge dead body. He had to have been dead at least a few days. Maggots were feasting on it, including one that was bigger than me.
Jax's brow creased and his eyes pierced into me.
Are you sure?
I can't be positive, but something larger than this cabin is dead down there.
Hmm, Jax grunted. I suppose he would be getting old by now.
He looked at me closely. But you didn't find anything while you were down there, did you?
I was too busy running for my life, I replied. But I did see a chest and what I think was a sword.
Ogres love treasure. I bet Namboonga had a nice little hoard.
Jax clicked his lips and stood from his chair. He walked over to the door and placed a thick wooden board in a slot across its front.
You should probably get some sleep.
Sleep here? I asked.
Well, that is unless you want to sleep outside. But it's a whole lot safer in here. Jack smiled.
Through Jack's window, I could see that night had fallen. Several hours must have passed since the moment I blacked out at the stump. Why wasn't the battery of the Nexicon VR dead yet? And better yet, why hadn't Rachel just powered down my damn headset and taken it off me? The only explanation was that she was still in the game, too. Or maybe I was really dead. No, no way. I willed my settings screen to appear and again tried to click the log off button and will myself out of the game. Nothing happened.
You wouldn't happen to know how to log out of this game, would you?
Jax frowned.
What is log out? And what game are you talking about?
I swallowed my last piece of ham hard and suddenly didn't feel like eating anymore.
Yeah, I moaned. I guess I'll sleep here.
That's what I figured.
Jax walked over to the bearskin rug where Fenris was curled up in front of the fire. He lay down, legs stretched, and leaned his head against the soft mane of Fenris's stomach.
You're welcome to the bed. I'll be fine down here with Fenris.
Is there a toilet around here? I asked.
Toilet? Jax asked.
You know, some place to go if I need to take a piss or do something else?
Jax's lips curled and his face twisted in disgust.
Where does anyone take a shit? You go deep in the forest, out of sight.
Jack sighed and shook his head as he closed his eyes.
Nice. I guess I'll have to wipe my ass with leaves, too.
I left my scraps of food at the table and made my way over to the bed. My mind was still racing at the possibility that I was permanently stuck in Eden's Gate. But I was so exhausted at my first day in-game that I could have probably slept standing up. I glanced over to Jax, who had wrapped his arm around Fenris's neck and gently caressed the beast's fur. I was surprised that the guy seemed just as real, or even more so than just about any real person I had ever met back on Earth. He actually noticed me and seemed to care. And I was 100% certain that he had never heard of Bustin Sneeber creeping up on the Fart Dashians or any of the other crap that people back home were obsessed with. I actually kind of liked the dude. Shame he was just an AI.
Chapter 6. Month 1. Day 2. Year 1. I woke up the next morning, still in Eden's Gate. I immediately tried to log off, but again, nothing happened. If I had any doubts before that something had gone horribly wrong on launch day, now I was certain. My next thought, my browser history, holy shit, I didn't delete my browser history. What if Rachel went through the ahem on my computer? Maybe that's why she didn't wake me. Embarrassment caused the hairs on the back of my neck to stand. I scanned through my settings again for about the 100th time, hoping to see a help option or something else I was overlooking, but there was literally no support option anywhere in the game. Jax was mixing some fragrant liquids on the standing desk behind me as I rubbed my eyes and sat up from the bed. "What is that?" I asked as he poured a thin green substance into a vial.
"What, you've never heard of alchemy? I'm putting together a few things before I head out hunting. I wasted my last cure potion on you yesterday."
I stretched my limbs out and stood up, scanning the cabin for my shoes.
"Thanks for the bed," I said. "I guess I should be going."
"Where are you headed?" Jax asked with a smile.
Truth was, I had no idea. I wanted to figure out a way to get out of the game, but if Rachel were stuck in Eden's Gate also, I needed to find her.
And the only two places I had heard of so far were Addenfall, where I was, and the Mostalands. Knowing how driven Rachel was, she would probably head straight for that castle that Rupert Winston was standing in, if she found herself stuck inside the game, too.
"I'm going to find my girlfriend," I replied.
"Oh," Jax cooed. "Looking for love, eh? Whereabouts is she?"
"I don't know," I muttered. "I figure I'll start by heading towards the Mostalands."
The Mastalands.
Jax leaned his head back and started laughing hysterically. He grabbed his stomach and cackled so hard that he almost dropped the vial of liquid he was holding.
The Mastalands, you're kidding me, right?
What? I asked.
Well, first off, Jax said, pushing a cork hard into the top of his vial, the Mastalands is hundreds of thousands of kilometers away. And second, you're only level 2. The Mastalands is one of the highest level zones in Eden's Gate. Even if you were some major badass, which you're not, you'd need a small army of additional badasses to survive there. So, basically...
Do you even know what direction the Mastalands is? He interrupted.
I shook my head and looked down at the wooden panel of the small cabin, feeling deflated about the situation.
So settle down and get some levels under your belt. Learn some skills. You've got a long way to go if you even want to get anywhere near the Mastalands.
But my girlfriend is probably looking for me.
What level is your girlfriend?
I shook my head.
I don't know, probably about the same as me.
So then she'll have to start somewhere too.
Jax lifted a satchel over his shoulder and slid the flask he was holding inside.
Don't worry, I'm sure you find her eventually.
I sighed, but I had to accept that he was right. I was still holding on to hope that something in Eden's Gate was glitched or that the whole dead broadcast thing was a prank. Maybe I'd be logged off automatically any moment. But either way, I wouldn't make it very far in the game without learning some skills.
Maybe you could teach me alchemy? Being able to conjure up health potions certainly wouldn't hurt.
Jack scanned me up and down. So, you want to become an alchemist, eh?
No, not really, but like you said, I've got to start somewhere.
Hmm, Jax huffed. I'm not much of an alchemist myself. I only know a few basics, but I'll tell you what. You said you saw a sword down in old Numbunga's cave. If you can go down there and fetch it for me, I'll teach you a thing or two about alchemy.
A window appeared in the center of my screen. You have been offered a quest, Old Numbunga's Cave. Retrieve the sword from Old Numbunga's Cave and return it to Jax. Reward, alchemy training, 300 XP. Do you accept this quest? Accept/decline.
Why do you want me to get it? I asked. It'd be much easier if you just went down there and got it yourself. You're obviously a lot stronger than me.
Jax smiled. You certainly are naive, Gunner. I just met you yesterday, and you came to me with the story that Old Numbunga's dead. How do I know he's not really dead and you're just trying to lure me into the cave to get my head smashed in?
You're pretty paranoid. There's a difference between paranoid and smart.
I huffed. Fine, I'll get you the sword.
You have accepted the quest, Old Numbunga's Cave.
Good, Jack smiled, and there was a twinkle in his eye. It made me wonder if there was something about the sword or cave he wasn't telling me. I grabbed my satchel and checked that my dagger and flint were still inside.
It would help if you could spare a torch.
What?
Jax chuckled. Look at yourself. You can't go back down there with no gear.
Jax kneeled down and slid a wooden crate from under his bed. Inside, he pulled out a plain wooden longbow and slipped it onto his back along with a quiver of arrows. There was another quiver and a smaller bow which he handed to me. It's not much, but should get you started.
You've received wooden shortbow, 2 to 5 attack damage, durability 9 of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 0.4 kilograms. You've received basic wooden arrows, +1 attack damage, durability 10 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 0.5 kilograms.
And take these, he said, sliding a pair of floppy, burnt red leather boots in my direction. The shoes you were wearing when I found you were soaked in something that stunk a mess.
You've received battered leather boots, +2 armor, durability, 4 of 10, quality, average, rarity, common, weight, 0.4 kilograms.
Thanks, I said as I slid the boots on my feet and fastened both the quiver and bow the same way as Jax had. I must have looked like a cross between Ronald McDonald and Robin Hood, but it was still better than what I had before.
Let's go see what we can find.
I thought you didn't want to go in the cave.
Jack sighed.
No, save the cave for later. For now, just come with me.
I followed Jax outside the cabin, and I immediately noticed that Fenris was missing.
Where's your wolf?
Jax shrugged. I released him. He's a wild beast. I've got to let him have his freedom sometimes.
And he just comes back whenever he feels like it?
Sometimes he shows up on his own, Jax replied. But usually I summon him.
You can summon Fenris?
Summon beast is a skill you can learn with patience and care, but it's not something I can teach you directly. A master either has to dominate the mind of a beast or develop an unwavering bond in order for the beast to allow itself to be summoned. Fenris and I have that bond.
That's amazing, I said. Now that's something I'd like to learn.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time.
Adenfall Forest was beautiful during the daytime. Large oak trees roofed with green rose out of the soil, and a mosaic of red, yellow, and green leaves lay sprinkled on the grass-covered ground. Flowers of every color were speckled in every direction, and the chirps of birds and other wildlife gave the place a magical feeling. I followed Jax through the woods a good kilometer before he paused and placed a hand on my shoulder to stop me from moving. He lifted his finger to his lips and then pointed over a swath of brush. A small squirrel, or something resembling a squirrel, was sniffing around at the ground.
"Do you know how to inspect your targets?"
Jax whispered low. I leaned my head to the side in a questioning manner, then shook it from left to right.
"This is a good target for you to learn on. Focus in on that squirrel and try to feel its energy. Try to get an understanding of everything you can about the creature."
"Okay,"
I said, still unsure of exactly what he was trying to get me to do. I focused in on the squirrel and watched as it continued to prance around, sniffing. I concentrated on the animal, trying to get a deeper understanding of the creature. And surprisingly, text appeared above the critter's head after a few seconds.
Name, a small squirrel. Race, animal. Level, 1. Health, 5. Mana, 5. Stamina, 20. Status, neutral. Advancement. You have learned the skill Inspect. If you know only yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained you will also suffer a defeat. Inspect is linked to the base stat, Intelligence. Increase your intelligence to increase your ability to inspect.
Level 1, neutral, 5 HP,
I whispered.
Good, Jax replied. As you get higher in levels, you can learn more information about your targets. If a target is too high level for the inspect skill, you'll get partial information or nothing at all.
Jax pulled his longbow from his back and lifted an arrow out of his quiver. He made a show of knocking the arrow and gestured to me to do the same. I followed his example and knocked an arrow into my bow, aiming at the creature.
"Go ahead when you're ready," he whispered.
I let the arrow fly, and it soared through the air towards the squirrel, missing it by an inch. The squirrel immediately darted behind a bush and then skirmished up and behind a tree to safety. Fuck, I spat under my breath. I had played archers in simulation-based games before, so I had a decent aim. But the difficulty curve here was on a whole different level. Just pulling back the tightly wound string of the bow had drained a little of my stamina. Jax stuck a finger to his lips again and then tapped me on the shoulder, signaling to another squirrel that was on our left, resting on a nearby tree branch. He nodded toward me and I knocked another arrow. This time, I focused hard and took note of the distance I missed on the first shot, adjusting my aim to compensate. I pulled the string as hard as I could and let the arrow fly. I cringed a little when the arrow made contact, as I could hear the sound of the animal's tiny bones being split by the impact. It flew with the arrow off the tree and landed several feet away.
"Hit,"
Jax said low but excitedly.
"Advancement. You have learned the skill archery. Is there any more rewarding feeling than an arrow that hits its mark? Archery is linked to the base stat, dexterity. Increase your dexterity to increase your affinity with archery. You have gained 25 XP. You have gained 1 point of dexterity."
Nice, I thought to myself. I wasn't expecting that point of dexterity. That prompted me to take a look at my status screen.
Gunner Long, race, human, level 2, progress 15%, 3 AP, 1 LP. Title, none. Health, 110, mana, 100, Stamina, 100. Strength, 10. Dexterity, 11. Intelligence, 10. Vitality, 10. Wisdom, 10. Willpower, 10. Charisma, 10. AR rating, 2. Resists, none. Traits, none. Primary skills, first aid level 1, progress 10%. Inspect level 1, progress 10%. Combat skills. Dodge level 1, progress 20%. Small blades level 1, progress 75%. Backstab level 1, progress 5%. Archery level 1, progress 10%. Magic skills, none.
I had forgotten that I still had 3 attribute points and a free level up and a skill of my choice to allocate, which was indicated beside my current level. I quickly focused on putting 2 of the attribute points into dexterity, since it seemed like just about everything I was using lately was linked to dexterity. I decided to save 1 AP, attribute point, and my LP, level point, for later, since I still wasn't sure what kind of build I was going to go with yet. And that left me with 1 AP and 1 LP. I followed Jax towards my kill, and he quickly pulled the arrow out of the squirrel and handed it back to me, bloody tip and all. He did a quick inspection of the dead carcass and then tied it to a string that was attached to his belt. "Good kill," he said. I wasn't sure what I thought about killing the squirrel. I had never killed a real animal before, but had killed hundreds if not thousands of animals in other games over the years, and never gave it a second thought. But seeing Jax handling my kill just felt way too real. I could even smell the gamey scent coming off the carcass. "What are you going to do with it?" I asked. "Trade the pelts for gold at the local village. If you can get me a few more, it should be enough to swing you some better gear as well." Jax looked up to the trees. "The forest is crawling with animals. Think you can get a few more on your own?"
"You have been offered a quest, pelts for Jax. Collect 5 furry animal carcasses for Jax to make pelts. Reward, unknown, 100 XP. Do you accept this quest? Accept/decline.
I nodded. "I think I can handle it."
"You have accepted the quest, pelts for Jax."
Jax reached in his bag and handed me a red flask.
"You've received minor healing potion. Durability, 10 out of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Drink to recover 50 HP over 5 seconds.
"Just in case." Jax winked and patted me on the shoulder. "I'm going to scout out the surrounding area for larger game and any potential trouble. If you need me, just whistle. Otherwise, just stay around this area and I'll find you in a bit."
"Sounds good."
I slid the flask in my satchel and continued forward as Jax swiftly slunk away. I marveled at the fact that I could barely hear anything coming from Jax as he made his exit, but nearly every step I took was causing leaves to crackle and branches to snap, no matter how hard I tried to be silent. I spotted another squirrel off in the distance, a few meters ahead, eating something akin to a round brown chestnut, but as I took a step closer, I snapped a twig and startled it slightly. It ran forward a bit, then stood tall, scanning the area around it. I froze, careful not to scare it away. After a few seconds, the squirrel diverted its attention back to the nut, and I crept forward again, trying to get in firing distance. This time, I moved as quietly and slow as I physically could. It didn't seem disturbed.
"Advancement. You have learned the skill, sneak. The quietest man often strikes the loudest. Sneak is linked to the base stat dexterity. Increase your dexterity to increase your ability to sneak."
I knocked an arrow and focused on the back of the squirrel. When I let the arrow fly, the squirrel was hit so hard that it was lifted off the ground from the impact of the arrow, and then bounced, tumbling several meters in the dirt before stopping by a tree. The bottom of my screen read, "Critical hit," but even without a notification, it was pretty obvious.
"You have gained 25 XP.
I walked up to the fallen squirrel and pulled my arrow out of its hide. The body was warm, and the fur was bloody where the arrow made impact and at its exit wound. My stomach turned as I looked at its frozen face, staring back at me with dead, open eyes. Death in Eden's Gate was way too real. I sighed and tossed the carcass to the ground. Jax hadn't given me anything to carry the dead bodies with, so I figured I'd just pile them all up in one spot rather than putting them in my satchel. For the next 30 minutes, I snuck around the area nearby, killing 2 more squirrels and 2 raccoons. Another raccoon took an arrow to its side but survived and scurried away somewhere, arrow and all.
You have completed all requirements for the quest. Pelts for Jax. Return the spoils to Jax to collect your rewards.
I carried the last couple of carcasses to the pile in front of the tree and stretched my arms out as I scanned the forest for Jax. He was nowhere to be seen, but I did see something just as interesting. A chubby brown animal, a bit bigger than a pig, was roughly 20 meters away, chewing on some leaves. I immediately readied my bow and knocked my arrow while at the same time performing my inspectability.
Name, a small wild boar. Race, animal. Level, 4. Health, 15. Mana, 5. Stamina, 30. Status, aggressive.
I weighed my options after I saw the boar's information. It was 2 levels higher than me, and thus far I had only focused on the lowest level creatures. But it also had only 15 HP. If I could get a critical hit or a few arrows into it before it got to me, there was a chance that I could gain some nice XP and an impressive kill. Maybe a dead boar would even fetch a good penny at the village? If not, it would make another nice meal like the one from the night before. My stomach growled. I was feeling hungry again. I decided to take the chance and pulled the arrow back hard, ready to let it fly, when I felt a slight tickle at my side. If I hadn't been so focused, I might have brushed it off as a wind. But when I looked down to see what it was, I was shocked to see my satchel flap closing and a small furry brown creature, roughly 2.5 feet tall, running away with my potion in its tiny hands. "Hey, what the fuck?" I yelled. I forgot about the boar and started running after the creature, which was surprisingly fast given the shortness of its legs. It dipped under foliage and jumped over branches expertly, and with each step it was gaining a little distance on me. "Stop!" I shouted. "That's my potion!" The creature didn't listen and just continued scurrying ahead. I chased for a couple minutes before we came upon a small clearing, and I realized there was just no way I was going to beat him in a foot race. I took a chance and stopped, knocked back my arrow, and fired. My arrow soared through the air and landed with a thud right in the back of the creature's leg.
"You have reached level 2 in archery."
The creature tumbled and screamed, its voice beady and sounding more like a kazoo than anything. The potion that it was carrying fell out of its hands and rolled on the ground in front of it.
"Yes!"
I quietly cheered to myself as I ran towards the fallen furry thing. The creature crawled towards the fallen flask with its hands, seemingly more desperate to get the potion back rather than worry about the injury in its leg. I quickly holstered the short bow to my back and pulled out my dagger as I ran and jumped on top of it. It turned, and its large brown eyes went wide as I latched my hand around its neck and raised my dagger high.
"No!"
it wailed. I hesitated to strike, maybe because the creature was just so damn cute. Its fur was thick and soft, and its flat facial features reminded me of anything but danger.
"Bad!"
a beady voice shrieked, and I felt a sharp pain shoot out in my side. My back arched instinctively, and I turned to the pain, just in time to see the tip of a small spear pulling out of me, dripping in blood, another of the small creatures at the other end of the stick. He jumped back, and then jumped forward again as if threatening another strike. And that's when I noticed I was surrounded.
"Bad!"
several of them wailed.
"Bad!"
There must have been 30 or more of the 2.5-foot furballs surrounding me. A few of them were holding half-sized bows with arrows pointing right at me, and the others were holding long spears that were 3 times their height. I dropped my dagger and put my hands in the air. The one stab from the creature's spear had brought me down to 50% health, so I probably wouldn't survive another.
"Whoa," I said. "Please don't kill me. I'm sorry. I just wanted to get my potion back."
"Bad!"
Several of the creatures were jumping back and forth, waving their points at me. I wasn't sure if they understood what I was saying or not, since they just kept saying the same thing over and over.
"Gunner!"
I heard Jax yell from somewhere nearby. I turned to see him press through a jumble of bushes and enter the clearing.
"Jax!"
I huffed, careful not to put my hands down.
"Jaxies!" Several of the fur-covered creatures seemed to completely lose interest in me and hobbled as fast as possible to Jax, thumping their bodies into his legs as they tried to hug him. A couple of them started climbing up his body and grabbing at his neck. I tried to stand up, but when I did, a few of the creatures that stayed behind jumped forward and pointed their weapon tips at me. "Hey, fellas," Jax said with a smile. "What's going on over here?"
"Bad!"
Several shouted and pointed their stubby fingers or their weapons at me.
"Bad man!"
"Bad man, huh?" Jax asked in a fatherly voice. The creatures nodded. The furry one that I was straddling shimmied out from under me, grabbing its leg and whimpering.
"He's a hurt me. Hurt? He's a bad," it cried.
"Oh no," Jax muttered and rushed over to where the injured creature squirmed. He looked down at the arrow in its leg and then looked up at me. "What did you do, Gunner?" "It tried to steal the health potion you gave me. I was just trying to get it back." "Oh, hell. Did you pay your tribute?" "Tribute? What tribute?" "Yesterday, when you entered the forest, did you pay your tribute?" "I don't know what you're talking about." "You shot a Kimu, Gunner. These are the protectors of Addenfall. Anyone who enters has to pay tribute to the forest, or the guardians will collect it on their own." I shook my head. "Well, fuck, I didn't know." Jack sighed. He looked down to the writhing creature and rubbed his hand over its furry temple. "Take a deep breath, buddy. This is going to hurt, okay?"
"What? Hurts?"
Jack swallowed and grabbed the arrow jutting out of the Kimu's leg and pulled it out before it had the chance to respond.
"Ah!"
the Kimu wailed. The Kimus surrounding us pointed their weapons and started jumping around as if they were ready to kill something. "It's okay," Jack said, holding the bloody vice up for all to see. "I just needed to get the arrow out." Jax reached into his satchel and pulled out another health potion. He popped the vial and poured a little of the liquid over the Kimu's leg wound, and then poured more of it into the Kimu's mouth. The Kimu almost instantly stopped its whining, but still looked like it was on the verge of tears. Jax handed me the other half of the health potion and then scooped the fallen Kimu up into his arms. "You're okay now," he said softly. He turned to me with a disapproving glare. "Drink it." I lifted the vial to my lips and let the red liquid spill into my mouth and down my throat. It had a fruity flavor with a strong, flowery aftertaste. Surprisingly tasty, I thought. My health bar immediately started to fill up again, and I could feel the pain of the spear wound starting to decrease. It didn't bring me to full health, but I was at a comfortable 85%. Jax leaned over, grabbed the stolen health potion, and handed it to me. I started to place it in my satchel, but he gripped me by the wrist and dipped his chin. "Pay tribute," he ordered. I swallowed and looked at the Kimus that were surrounding us. They didn't seem as alarmed as before, but were still very cautious. I held the potion out in my hands towards one of the Kimus with a spear, but he just looked at me with curiosity. "Lower your head and say, 'Tribute for Addenfall,'" Jax instructed. I looked down at the grassy ground. "Tribute for Addenfall," I repeated. The Kimus buzzed. They weren't talking, I don't think, they just buzzed at each other. But after a couple seconds, the potion was lifted out of my hand and I heard a beady voice say,
"Welcome."
When I raised my head up, the Kimus lowered their spears and holstered their bows. The tension seemed to go from 100 to 0 in a second. But I did notice the Kimu that I shot give me menacing eyes over Jax's shoulder.
"Next time, be careful what you attack," Jax said as he sat the Kimu down and stood to his feet. "I don't dare to think of what would have happened if you actually killed one of the guardians of the forest."
I stood up as well and watched as more of the Kimus tugged on Jax's clothing and tried to play with him as if they were children. "They don't expect tribute from you?"
"I'm not a visitor," Jax explained. "I've lived in this forest for many years."
"And may you live in Addenfall for many years to come," a sing-song voice said. I turned to see a pale-skinned, lithe female walking into the clearing. Her eyes were the softest of greens, and her long hair was the blondest of blondes. She was beautiful,
perhaps the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen, and her small leathery green top cut off above her waist, exposing a perfectly flat stomach and hips that fit snugly into a short leather skirt. Her clothes were etched in gold, and tall green boots rose up to her knees. The Kimus all kneeled in unison at the sight of her. Jax pressed my shoulder and spoke low. "Kneel." Jax dropped to one knee and put his head down. I considered defiance for a moment. Who was I to kneel to someone? I didn't even know who the lady was. But at the same time, I had been through enough trouble for one day. And so far, Jax had steered me in the right direction. I dropped down and mimicked Jax's pose.
"You can rise," the woman spoke. "You know I don't care for formalities, Jax."
Both Jax and the Kimus stood back up to their feet and I followed their actions.
"It's a pleasure to see you again, Adili. It's been too long," Jax smiled.
"A pleasure to see you as well, Jax."
The woman turned and looked down to one of the Kimus that was looking up at her in awe. That's when I noticed her elongated, pointed ears. I knew immediately that she was some sort of elf.
"I heard a guardian cry, so I decided to have a look."
Jax smiled. "Just a misunderstanding. It's all taken care of now." Adili looked at Jax as if reading his mind and then turned to me.
"And your companion?"
"He's new to the forest," Jax explained. "Just out here helping me collect some goods for trade."
I scratched the top of my head and gave an embarrassed smile. The elf woman was gorgeous, and there I was wearing battered red boots and a pair of capri pants that looked like they came out of the little girl section at Kmart. Story of my life, I tell you. "The name's Gunnar. Nice to meet you."
"I see,"
Adili said softly, making no effort to return an introduction. "What brings you to this side of Adenfall?" Jax asked. "You're a long way from the Vale."
"The Scourge," Adili said.
"The Scourge?" Jax asked. "What does the Scourge have to do with Adenfall?"
"Word has traveled that some of the Scourge set up camps along the Crystal River, and Mother sent me here to investigate."
"The Crystal River?" Jax questioned. "The Scourge has never gathered so close to here."
"It's true. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it's not clear if they're planning something, or just passing through. But they're there."
"The Scourge would never dare cross the river and enter the forest. War with the elves would be genocide."
Adili sighed. "Let's hope that's their thought as well. For now, we'll be on high alert until they leave."
Adili kneeled down and rubbed her fingers through one of the Kimu's hair.
"Eden's Gate doesn't need any more bloodshed."
"The forest is strong, Princess."
"Princess?" I wondered. "Good God, this gorgeous girl was a princess even." I tried my best to perform an inspect on her, but the same message kept appearing over and over again.
"You have failed to inspect your target. You have failed to inspect your target."
If she only knew the things I'd like to inspect on her. I had a girlfriend, sure, but I was still a man. You can't put something like that in front of a guy without his mind going wild.
Princess Adili stood.
"I should get back to the Vale and warn my mother of the news. Please let us know if you see anything that would be cause for concern."
"Of course, Adili," Jax said.
Adili turned to me.
"And you, Gunnar, will you be kind enough to alert the elves if you find anything suspicious?"
"You've been offered a quest, Scourge Activity. Princess Adili has requested that you alert the elves if you find anything that would be of concern. Reward, unknown, 350 XP. Do you accept this quest? Accept/decline.
I scratched the back of my head again, feeling like a shy school kid talking to that one unattainable cheerleader babe.
"Absolutely."
"You have accepted the quest, Scourge Activity." "Thank you, Gunnar. And may we meet again."
Adili turned to Jax and dipped her chin.
"Jax?"
Jax nodded, and Adili waved to the Kimus as she ran off into the deep of the forest, making hardly a sound as she moved.
"Gunnar?"
Jax asked. I shook my head out of whatever trance I had found myself in as I watched Adili disappear between the trees.
I'm sorry, what?
Jax cleared his voice and looked at me curiously. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Then we should probably head back and retrieve the animals I saw you'd killed back there. The pelts?
Yeah,
I groaned. The pelts. Jax and I gathered up and started back toward where we began our hunt.
You know, it's all right, Jax said as we pushed through some thick brush.
What's all right? I asked.
I just about spoiled my pants too the first time I saw an elven princess.
Shit, was I really that obvious?
Chapter 7. Month 1, Day 2, Year 1.
You have completed the quest, Pelts for Jax. You have gained 100 XP. Advancement. You have reached level 3 and have gained 3 attribute points. To assign your attribute points, open your status page. You can also increase any of your known skills by 1 level. Choose wisely as your choice cannot be undone. You have gained 10 health.
Looks good, Jax said, inspecting one of the dead raccoons. Give me a few minutes and we can head south to Linden to sell these off. As Jax was busy cutting out the innards of the dead animal, I wandered around nearby trying to rack up a little more XP while I waited. I managed to score 2 more squirrels before he finished up, which he also made quick work of. We gathered up all the pelts and headed off for Linden.
So, everyone kneels to the princess? I asked.
You should kneel to any elf when in a forest, princess or not. The Vale may be the home of the high elves, but they're considered the rulers of all forests, Jax explained. Outside of the forest, they're considered no different than you or me.
All elves?
Jax huffed. Maybe not dark elves, but I'll leave that one up to you.
What about dark elves? Do they live underground?
I could only assume so, given the amount of fiction I'd read and video games I had played back when I was on Earth.
What makes you think that?
Jax shook his head. I suppose some do, but not all. Dark elves are simply elves that have left the forest for too long. It's hard on an elf's soul to be away from their natural homes for extended periods, and that strain causes their skin to change. Many dark elves return to the forest, but they're often met with contempt and lack of respect from other elves.
Sort of like elf-on-elf racism, I thought.
So then they're not necessarily evil?
Not all of them. Some lose their mind from the trauma, but many still maintain a good heart and strong connection with nature.
And the Scourge?
There's not much to say about the Scourge. Orcs mostly, goblins, and some other baddies who make their homes in the wastelands.
Savages.
Their only goal seems to be murder, pillage, and loot whatever they can. No one really knows what compels them to do what they do, but they seem hell-bent on destroying Eden's Gate.
If they destroy Eden's Gate, wouldn't that destroy them too?
Maybe I worded that wrong. They want to destroy everyone and everything in Eden's Gate. Everything but the Scourge.
It was more than 3 hours of walking before we reached Linden Village, and the sun was just starting to go down. There were several wooden buildings littered around the unpaved streets that surrounded a large well in the center of the village, and several smaller homes were sprinkled further out. Going by the insignia dangling in front of the doors of the larger buildings, I noticed an inn, a stable, an armorer, a general goods store, and, by the book etched in the wood of the sign, a library or magic shop of some kind. There were a couple of children dressed in dirty clothes that were chasing each other around the well, and a couple of horses tied off near the inn. A woman carrying a basket of fruit was on her way somewhere, and a man was busy looking at a bulletin board outside the inn, but otherwise there weren't many people outside. Jax ducked his head inside the general store while I waited outside. When he returned, he came out carrying 2 small bags filled with coins.
"Here's your cut, as promised," he said as he handed me one of the bags. "This should be enough for you to buy a bit of gear."
He looked up and eyed the etching of a foamy mug that was dangling in front of the inn.
"I'm going to have a beer and blow off some steam. I'll meet you inside the inn later."
"You've received 25 gold pieces."
"Thanks," I said.
I pocketed the gold and headed straight for the armorer. When I opened the creaky wooden door to the armorer, a balding man in a white cotton shirt and overalls stood up from his chair and leaned on the counter. He was the only person inside.
"Well, hello there. Welcome."
"Hey," I replied.
"Looks like someone needs an upgrade."
I just ignored his comment and started scanning the goods he had inside his store. There were breastplates hanging on the wall, gloves, bracers, leggings, and boots of all different types. There was plate, chainmail, ringmail, and a small amount of leather selection. Small paper tags hung from each of the different items indicating the prices, and a good percentage of it was way more than I could afford. As I focused on each item, their stats appeared at the bottom of my screen. I figured I would start by finding a chest piece, since that would likely be the most effective piece of armor, and narrowed the choice down to 4 pieces, mostly because they were the only ones I could afford.
Battered leather chest piece, plus 10 armor, durability 4 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 1.5 kilograms, price 4 gold. Leather footpads vest, plus 11 armor, durability 10 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 1.2 kilograms, price 5 gold. Rugged leather tunic, plus 14 armor, durability 9 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 1.6 kilograms, price 6 gold.
"Will you negotiate?" I asked the vendor. The vendor rolled his eyes.
"What are you offering?"
"How about 3 for your rugged leather tunic?" I asked.
"Get the hell out of here!" the guy yelled and waved his hand. "I don't need any of your lunacy in my shop."
I wasn't sure if he was being serious when he told me to get out, but I knew then that the only way to save the deal was to offer something a lot closer to the asking price.
5 for the rugged?"
The guy lifted his chin.
"All right, I can handle that."
I passed the required gold to the vendor.
"You have received rugged leather tunic, plus 14 defense, durability 9 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 1.6 kilograms.
I equipped the item right away, and it fit right over my shirt. It felt loose at first, but then mysteriously shrank to fit my frame. I pounded a fist onto the tunic, and I could tell that the hard, thick leather would certainly take a lot of damage. The leather selection in the store was kind of poor, but I narrowed the rest of my choices down to 4 other items.
Thick hide gloves, plus 3 armor, durability 10 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 0.3 kilograms, price 3 gold. Basic leather leggings, plus 7 armor, durability 10 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 0.9 kilograms, price 4 gold. Rough leather bracers, plus 4 armor, durability 7 out of 10, quality below average, rarity common, weight 0.4 kilograms, price 4 gold. Battered leather cowl, plus 2 armor, durability 3 out of 10, quality poor, rarity common, weight 0.3 kilograms, price 3 gold.
"I'll give you 13 gold for the lot," I said. The vendor started counting up the cost and then gave me a slight nod.
"That's a fair deal."
After giving over the gold to the vendor, I equipped all the items and immediately felt like less of a noob. The items that didn't fit all adjusted to size, and the leather felt like a second skin to me. Aside from the leather cowl, which I bought because there was no other leather helmet alternatives, all of it was in decent condition. All the items were a dark brown leather as well. So I looked a lot less like a drunken clown. Except for the boots. The red stood out like a sore thumb. I pulled the boots that Jax had given me off and sat them on the vendor's counter.
"How much will you give me for these?" I asked.
The vendor picked up the boots and gave them a good look over.
"I'll give you 1 gold for these."
"1 gold?" I shouted. I looked over to another pair of leather boots that were sitting on a side counter.
Rough footpads boots, plus 4 defense, durability 7 out of 10, quality average, rarity common, weight 0.5 kilograms, price 4 gold.
"You're asking 4 gold for these, and they aren't that much better." "I'll give you 2 gold, that's my final offer," the vendor said.
I shook my head and huffed. Fine. Take the boots, and 2 gold for the footpads boots. The vendor nodded. I slid on the footpads boots, and finally I had a complete set of decent-looking leather armor. I walked out of the armorer feeling